Sorry for the late start. First of all, thank you very much to everybody for making it. I know the circumstances for learning are not exactly ideal. It's a little challenging doing all this in masks and from a distance, and it'd be so much more wonderful to sit in closer quarters in a tight kabura, but so be it. So be it. It's a challenge we have, and we're going to persevere anyway, and we're going to make sure that we continue to learn. And more than anything, the hour is obviously late, but this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to sanctify our brand new space, to sanctify it in a manner that's appropriate, sanctify it in a way that that is meaningful, that's real, that's authentic, that makes a statement from the outset that we're planning on using this space for the purposes that we've always dreamed of, but that we're not going to allow it to just come happenstance, that we're going to be intentional about it, that we're going to do so b'chavana. The notion of staying up all night on Shavuos is effectively as a tikkun. Klal Yisrael didn't do the job right the first time around. The first time around, they should have stayed up, or they should at least not have been caught sleeping. So we make a point specifically of staying up. I can ask, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? You know, so they were tired. They've been walking around in the midbar already for a while. You know, they were travel weary, and they were away from home, and they didn't have some of the creature comforts that you associate with being home. So they were exhausted, and it had been a long trek already. So it was so terrible. What's so terrible is that when you have a moment that is going to be the beginning, the first, the inception that everyone had been waiting for. Everyone had been waiting for 210 years, hard labor. They were just waiting and pining for the moment, allegedly anyway, that this is going to be the magical moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, not only rescues us from the Mitzrayim, but sort of rescues us from ourselves, creates purpose, creates meaning in our lives, creates nationhood, and then you're caught sleeping. So we find ourselves at least in an echo of that same reality, that this is, you know, we were just putting up the mezuzahs on Erev Shabbos, and you know, some of us gathered here, and we started, you know, measuring and whatever, and Ari actually pointed out, it's like this is a huge moment. It's a huge moment. We're rushing, we gotta get home for Shabbos, we gotta get showered, and we're just like putting up mezuzahs. This is a huge moment. It's such an incredible achievement and coalescence of so much hard work. So you have these moments that could very, very easily pass us by, and we'll just kind of go through the regular rigmarole. I think, Baruch Hashem, our rigmarole and our standard, our stam is not stam. It's great. And even if we would leave things not to chance, but just to the pattern of our typical behavior, I think we'd be okay. But the point is to do so a little bit more intentionally, to make a point of specifically coming together, to recognize what a meaningful night this is, what a meaningful opportunity this is, and to set everything right from the very, very outset, to ensure that this indeed becomes a place of tefillah and becomes a place of Torah, that we gather here together all for the right purposes. Mirtzah Hashem. So thank you for joining. Let's get started. So let's speak a little bit about the 13 midos. This is obviously something that is central to tonight's tefillah. And I think, you know, it happened to work out very well that this was the night. But I think as we discuss and discover a little bit more about the notion of the Yud Gimel midos, so the 13 midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really the hallmark and the core of what Slichos are really about, I think we'll discover that this was actually an extremely fortuitous working of the calendar, that we would have the opportunity for this to really be the first night that we would be in this building and come together really more than anything as a tzibur, specifically to begin reciting the 13 midos this evening. So let's take a look at the importance of the 13 midos. First and foremost, the primary source, I think, for the recitation of the Yud Gimel midos, aside from when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself teaches Moshe Rabbeinu, where did they originally come from? Yud Gimel midos, when does Hashem first utter the Yud Gimel Midos, when does he convey the Yud Gimel Midos to Moshe Rabbeinu? Right after Chet HaEgel. So this is from Parshas Ki Sisa, but it's really the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that underlines and underscores the importance and the impact that the recitation of the Yud Gimel Midos really can have. That this wasn't just something that for one time Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, I'm so merciful, therefore I won't destroy the nation and I'll have Rachmanis on you and I'm going to take you back, but that this is supposed to create a formula that we are supposed to continue to repeat for all time. And again, this is mentioned in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So we quote the Pasuk, and it's a Pasuk that we're very familiar with because we always quote the Pasuk as an introduction to the recitation of the Yud Gimel Midos themselves throughout Slichos. V'yavor Hashem al panav v'yikra. And Hashem passed passed on his presence, Vayikra, and he called out. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said as follows: El Mali Mikra Kasuv. You find this every now and again that the Gemara will analyze some description of Hakadosh Baruch Hu in decidedly anthropomorphic terms, decidedly human terms, and the Tanaim and Amoraim are left with their jaws agape. How can you speak about Hashem like that? So the reality is that Hashem speaks about Hashem like that. But the point is that if not for the Torah, we would never be able to offer this sort of description ourselves. Umali mikra kasav, if not for the fact that the Torah had written it, e asher l'omer, you can never say such a thing. That what? Melame, this teaches, shenis atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur. Hashem wrapped himself up like a shliach tzibur, wrapped himself up, meaning in a talis. This is the way that he appeared, kivyacha, whatever this means, whatever image it was, in which he appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, not just reciting the words. By the way, how do you see this from the pasuk itself? Why do we make the jump from the pasuk Hashem passes by that suddenly we imagine him wrapped up in a talis? Because at least colloquially, that is always the term that we use whenever we speak of a shliach tzibur davening on behalf of the whole tzibur, is over lefnei hateva, over lefnei ha'am, that he passes before the rest of the tzibur, the rest of the congregation. That is the terminology that we always use in describing a shliach tzibur. So Yochanan says, look, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is presenting himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, and going the extra mile, wrapped up, nis'atef, wrapped in a talis, the Her Alo Lemoshe Seder Tefillah, and he showed Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the order of Tefillah. I'm not just describing my own attributes. I'm saying that this is the way that you're supposed to daven. So if there's any doubt as to what you're supposed to do when you find yourself in a pickle like this, where you desperately, desperately need Hashem's Rachmanis, you don't know what to do, I'm going to tell you what to do. Amar Lo, Kol Zman Sheyisrael Chotin, when they sin and they need penitence, what should you do? Ya'asu Lefanai Kaseder Hazev Ani Mochalahem. So you do it, and I'm going to forgive you. Now that in of itself, first of all, it's very, very powerful. It's very impactful. It tells us the importance of responding, not so much to tzuris, right? Not so much just to difficulty, which is sort of the way that it seems to be pitched when we speak about slichos during the Tainus Tzibor, that we're in terrible straits and things are so horrible for us. So Hashem, please shower us with your mercy and your kindness and your compassion. This specifically is really supposed to be a response to chet. So the reality is that during all of the Tanesim, all of the public fast days, that's exactly what we try to take stock of. We keep in mind that these things aren't arbitrary. Hashem's reaction isn't arbitrary. It's just that it's a reaction. It's a reaction to our behavior. If we perfect ourselves, if we become better, then there will be no more need for fast, for churban, for galus, for the diaspora, for any of these things. So we beg that Hashem take us back. So it's very powerful, it's very impactful. You could, of course, ask the following question. And some do. We'll get to this a little bit later, but let's at least present the question now. Is this really the case? Is it really the case that all we have to do is recite these things and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us? That if we submit to this seder and this brand of tefillah, that's it? That's all it takes? And then, Yasu Lefani Kaseder Hazev Ani Mochalachem? So if I say these things, if I say these words, if I say these midos, then Hashem forgives me and that's it? That's all it comes down to? Maybe you'd argue, maybe Hashem does forgive us, but somehow or another we're still stuck in the position that we're in. It's hard to imagine, hard to believe. So Amar Rav Yehuda, by the way, continues. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda, Bris Krusa Liyud Gimel Mida She'enon Chozeros Reikon. It's really impactful language. Einon Chozeros Reikon. They don't return empty. If we offer up the Yud Gimel Midos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu absolutely responds. So if that be the case, it's a beautiful building. Everybody's here in Asano, Rivka, Shmuel, thank you. Thank you for your with all due respect. You know, I sat here, or I stood next door, you know, last year, reciting these Yud Gimel Midos, hoping very, very much that there would be no building, there would be no 819, there would be no Cherry Hill, there would be no Gullus, there would be no continuation of Chorban. We should be back in Eretz Yisrael already. We should be forgiven. This is a bris krusa. Einan chozros reikam. Einan chozros reikam. So you're saying, so it worked. It worked. It worked with Miktsas. It worked on some level. It didn't work the way that we ideally want it to. Yeah, maybe. Is that any different from any regular tefillah? Meaning, isn't all tefillah like that? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately hears all tefillah? What exactly sets Yid Gimel Midos apart? So we'll talk about it a little bit, but at least to start thinking along those lines, what is it that we're doing wrong if we keep on saying these things and we're not necessarily answered? It's a bris krusa, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani moch elohem, so maybe he forgives us, but I don't know. But then why are we still stuck here? Why are we still in galus? Why haven't we been completely forgiven? Why don't we have a Beis HaMikdash back? In an chozros reikam. Maybe it's b'miktas. Yeah.
Is this just when we do when we sin?
Yes. So that's what it says. So maybe.
Like when we're just done, like when we have certain bakashas.
So maybe. So it's specifically the Yigdal Midos, and it's supposed to be a response to chet. Kol zman sheYisrael choten. You should say these things whenever it is that we are chotei, and then ani moch elohem. So I don't know. So maybe Hashem forgives us on the one hand, but He doesn't forgive us enough to bring back the Beis HaMikdash. Open question. I'm not sure. Oh, great. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. That's definitely going to be a mahalach. Yeah. So maybe it's not as simple as just saying them. We have to do. We have to act out. We have to participate. Yeah. Let's get there. Okay. So let's keep moving. So just so we're aware, something of a halachic backdrop here as to whether or not the Yud Gimel Midos can be recited by a yachid, right? We make sure to do our best to have a minyan. I don't know, I remember 6 years ago this being very, very difficult in the morning, making sure that we had a minyan for the Yud Gimel Midos. Hopefully this year presents some challenges, but hopefully in the years past it's been a lot easier and it's been a lot smoother, and we've been able to get a minyan for all the Yud Gimel Midos. Question is, can a yachid say it? So here's a tshuva from the Rashba. If you jump down to the actual tshuva, that's what is being asked about. Can you say the Yud Gimel Midos when you're davening by yourself? And he says, "Mistabrli shakol sha'omrin derech tefila b'kashas rachamim ein ne'marin b'yachid." If you're davening these, if you're saying these as a tefila, if you're calling out to Hashem, 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 kel rachum lechanan, the way that we do when we recite slichos, you can't do it on your own. Why? So this is interesting and very telling. Ukidavar shebikdusha. That expression is very important. Ukidavar shebikdusha. We have certain items throughout tefila that are considered to be dvarim shebikdusha, and therefore they require a minyan. How exactly does that work? Somehow or another, the koach of having 10 neshamos in the room, that ratchets up the ability to say certain things that otherwise would be hands-off, because it's kadosh, it's kedusha, and therefore you need to have more than just ourselves. It has to be more than just the yachid to have the temerity to actually utter these things. Kedusha and kadosh, and we know what they are. So this is like a davar shebikdusha, baruch hu. So hein, kamosha amru b'hagada, like we say in the Agada, meaning he's quoting the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, referencing the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Nesateh v'kadosh baruch hu k'shliach tzibur v'ra'eh l'moshe b'sinai. I'm not sure exactly what the Rashba is drawing from the Gemara that indicates that this is a davar shebikdusha, other than maybe this is something that clearly you need a shliach tzibur for. Hashem shows Himself to be a shliach tzibur, and if it's something that you davka need a shliach tzibur, I could daven Shmona Esrei by myself. You don't need to have a shliach tzibur and have that setup of a chazan if I'm just davening at home. But when it comes to the kinds of things that we say are dvarim shebikdusha, so then you need to have a shliach tzibur. And since Hashem shows Himself in that capacity, presents Himself in that capacity, so perhaps that means that we should take this to be a davar shebikdusha. Aval im ba'la omro kach derech kriya ba'alma, if you're just reading it as a pasuk, then omer kederech sha'omrin afa ufanu ukra'i de kedusha derech kriya. No different than kedusha itself. You can read the psukim of kadosh, 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 and baruch kvod Hashem la'olam. You can read these psukim on their own, as long as you're reading them as psukim. So you have to try to like pivot. If you find yourself davening slichos at home, you have to kind of pivot your focus and your attention. I'm not reciting this as a tefillah. I'm not calling out to Hashem. I'm reading it just like it's a pasuk. That's the Rashba. The Tur has a hard time coping with this and grappling with the Yud Gimel Midos being considered to be a davar shebikdusha. Because of Rav Nosson, according to the Rashi, in minog liyachad amisane lomer Yud Gimel Midos, that a yachid shouldn't say the Yud Gimel Midos. Ve'ni yodea ma chashash yesh badavar. What's the big deal? Why can't you say the Yud Gimel Midos by yourself? Shari eno el kakari b'torah. You're just reading the Torah. Shari lo amru chachamim el kol davar shebikdusha kegon kadesh ukdusha ubarchu. So it's the exact same language as the Rashba. The Rashba says, I'm concerned. I don't think you can say this because it's a davar shebekdusha. It's too holy to be recited as by an individual. The Torah says, I don't get what the big deal is. The only things you're not allowed to say as an individual is a davar shebekdusha. So they're missing each other. Yes, that's also so interesting. So he says it's very good. Yeah, 100%. He says it's kid davar shebekdusha. Yeah, so it's only kid davar shebekdusha, and it's not really a davar shebekdusha. I don't know. Somehow or another, it sounds like, according to the Rashba, there's some hang-up in saying that this is necessarily part of that very select group of tefillos, Kaddish and Kedusha. It's not really a davar shebekdusha, but it's kid davar shebekdusha. I don't think you should say it by yourself. And the Torah says, and maybe that's exactly the point, listen, we know what a davar shebekdusha is. Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu. It's the big three. If it's not one of the big three, so say it by yourself. And these are just psukim, and don't make a bigger deal out of it than it really is. Yeah, Ali?
What would the Torah say? I mean, I guess it's funny that you put Kedusha there, because the Rashba specifically addressed Kedusha at the very end. And there's some Afa Ofanim that's talking about Kedusha, right?
Right, yeah. So what he's saying, what the Rashba is saying there at the end is that even that if you want to read these just as regular psukim, you could do that. Because even Kedusha, you could read the psukim of Kedusha are just that, they're psukim. Right, what we recite as Kedusha are really just psukim. So if you want to recite them as psukim, so fine. You just have to, by the way, that is the that's the eitzah that's given. Let's say you're davening by yourself. Davening as a yachid, and you have Birchos Kriyashma. So I might not have Kedusha like after Shmona Esrei, but I say those same psukim as part of Birchos Kriyashma and as part of Luvalot Tzivan. So what am I supposed to do? That's why some of the Siddurim actually have the trup included. That's the eitzah that the Mishnah Berurah gives. So read them mamish like you're reading psukim. Say them with a trup. That way you are making the statement without a doubt that you're really only reading psukim, that you're not actually reciting Kedusha per se. So that's what the Rashba says. He says that even when it comes to those, you can still read them. Therefore, if you want to read these as psukim, you can. But to recite them, no good. The Torah seems to say there's no other option. These are just psukim. That's all they are. They're just psukim. We know what the Dvarim Shebekdusha are. This isn't on the list. And therefore, it's not a big deal. You can say them. You can recite them, even if you're davening slichos by yourself. The Shulchan Aruch goes with the Rashba. Shulchan Aruch says, close to the bottom of the page, Ein hayachid rishai lomar shloshes remidos derech tefilo ubakashas rachamim didavar shebekdusha him. You can't say them because they are a davar shebekdusha. Since they're a davar shebekdusha, you can't say them by yourself. You need a tzibur, you need a minion. Aval imba la omram derech kriya ba'alma. But if you want to say them just as regular psukim, then omram, no problem, you can say it. Now here is where things become even more remarkable. So here's the Ramah. The Ramah on the Shulchan Aruch, again, Shulchan Aruch says you can't say Yud Gimel Midos by yourself, because he goes like the Rashba. He says the indication from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is that this is considered to be a Davar Shebekdusha. And if it's a Davar Shebekdusha, then you can't say it on your own. It's like Kaddish, it's like Kedusha, you can't say it by yourself. You need to have a minion. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Ramah says, V'chein ein liyachid lomar slichos ovayavor. Ramah says, take this entire book, leave it in shul, because you'll either say it with a minion or you won't say it. You can't say slichos on your own. The whole conversation, there are other Rishonim who say that, or Zerus seems to say this, there are, but for the most part, the conversation is about, well, Yud Gimel Midos, is it really Davar Shebekdusha? Is it not Davar Shebekdusha? I'm not sure, I don't know. And then the Ramah interjects about slichos in general. There's no such thing as saying slichos on your slichos vayavor, which is the introductory pasuk in paragraph 2 to the Yud Gimel Midos. None of it. You can't say the slichos either. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. He really knocks out a whole lot.
It seems to be implied by the Gemara itself. When Israel said it's a collective.
Okay, fine. I would even if that's the case, I would counter. I mean, that's also an interesting. It's also an interesting point that maybe that's why, meaning I'm wondering, how does the Rashba, let's say, first and foremost, see from this Gemara that this is at all something that's only supposed to be recited as a tzibur? But the point is, so I was going to say that because Hashem presents himself as a shliach tzibur, maybe there's also an additional element, Yosef Chaim, like you're saying, that it's called Manchi Yisrael Chotin. The impression is that this is a national or collective kind of enterprise. When there's national and collective sin, so that's when you're supposed to say these things. But either way, anyway you slice it, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is talking about the Yud Gimel Midos. It's not talking about the totality of Slichos. Slichos are beautiful tefillos, and they're piyutim, and we can recite them, and they tug at the heartstrings, and if you know what they mean, it's hard. But we got art scroll. So where does this idea come from that it's not only the Yud Gimel Midos, but even Slichos at large that can't be said? That can't be said without a minion. So that is that's like a mic drop. That's like a mic drop that the Rambam makes. Very interesting piece at the bottom here. There are a number of different explanations trying to the different achronim really and poskim trying to wrap their heads around this Rambam specifically. Why does the Rambam make this jump that slichos can't be recited at all? What's that? Slichos means some section of our slichos. I mean, I don't know how much it's really changed between the Rama and now. It's what it seems like. That's what it sounds like. Well, Maisa, we do. We do say slichos even as a yachid. We don't say ve'yavur, and we don't say the Yud Gimel Midos, but we do say slichos bi'achidus. But seemingly, that's what he's talking about. Maybe there are still, even according to the Rama, there are certain sections that he, if you go through the slichos, right, there are different sections. Maybe you could still say vidui, but you can't say the actual, you know, there's a slicha in advance of every one of the Yud Gimel Midos. So maybe that's what he means. He means those specific piyutim. Maybe you could still say some of the other things. There are a lot of psukim at the beginning and at the end. Maybe you could still say those. So an interesting piece here from Rav Soloveitchik in Harei Kedem, the very, very beginning of Harei Kedem. Take a look. He quotes the Rambam. I don't know if we'll see the whole this whole piece inside, but this is only a piece of the piece. But he quotes the Rambam first. Because of a Rambam, the Perek Gimel Mehilchos Tshuva Halacha Dal. Sorry for the small print here. So in the third Perek Mehilchos Tshuva Halacha Dal, the Rambam says, "Mepnei Inyan Zeh Nagul Kol Beis Yisrael Harbos Bitzdaku V'Maisim Tovim V'Lasok B'Mitzvos Mirosh Hashanah V'Ad Yom Kippurim." It's in the context of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and the Rambam reflecting on Aseres Yemei Tshuva and speaking about the importance and about how we need to ratchet up the Tshuva during this time. Yoser Mikol HaShanah, more so than any other time of the year. V'nagu kulam lakum b'layla basar yomim elo is an interesting expression. Ulehis palel bibate knesios. And to daven specifically in shuls. To daven in shuls. It's an interesting expression. It's an interesting lashon. It's not only that you have to daven with a tzibur. So you're supposed to daven in shul. So this is very apropos to being in a new shul. B'divrei tachnunim uv kibushin ad sheyor ahayom. So we should respond with tefilos, or we should turn to Hashem with tefilos until the day becomes light. So get up in the dead of night, and then we continue to go. Where? In a Beis HaKnesses. So Rav Soloveitchik notes that at the very least, it's an interesting expression, Beis HaKnesses, but clearly the Rambam is at the very least driving at the importance of reciting these things as part of a tzibur, as part of an entire collective, as we've said. If you take a look, and then he quotes the Rambam, also if you jump to the next paragraph, Venira Habir. So here's his explanation. What's the reason why? So that's how everybody explains it. If you can't say Yud Gimel Midos on your own as a yachid, why do I need the tzibur? I need the tzibur the same way that if I want to say Kaddish, I have to say Kaddish with a minion. Same way that if I want to say Kedusha, I'm going to have a minion. Because it's a Davar Shebikdusha. So there are certain things that are too sanctified and too holy for me to say on my own, and I need the support of the entire collective. I need the support of the tzibur to be able to utter such things that are so sanctified and so holy. Just like the Shulchan Aruch himself writes, what's difficult is that to say that should be true of slichos at large is very hard. If you want to tell me the Yud Gimel Midos are a Davar Shebikdusha, so then I understand why you can't say the Yud Gimel Midos as part of, on your own, as a Yachid. But why should that apply to all of Slichos? The Rama says you can't say Slichos at all as a Yachid. The Rambam says that we get up, Ulehispal Bebate Knesios. You gotta go to Shul, you gotta go to the public forum, you gotta be in the public venue, presumably surrounded by the rest of the Am that's at least making up a minion. So Ach Yuyan Buhar Ritva Burash Hashanah. Take a look at what the Ritva writes on that Gemara that we had at the beginning. Tvayavor Hashem Hu Miloshan Over Lefnei Hateva Kishas. He comes like a Shliach Tzibur. Lefize Nira De Iker Hachefza Shel Yud Gimel Midos Einam Ela Bitzibur Velo Mitzad Davar Shebikdusha. It's very slight, but a very, very important distinction that Rav Soloveitchik is making. There are two ways of looking at Yud Gimel Midos. One is that the Yud Gimel Midos are inherently so holy, there are certain things that are just so holy, that are so kadosh, that they cannot be recited unless we have a tzibur. And then you have other things that for perhaps other reasons, not necessarily because of pure sanctity, but that were only instituted as a public mitzvah or as a public recitation, as opposed to a private one. He doesn't mention this, but just because it's, you know, sort of top of mind, Perhaps a comparison can be drawn to a mitzvah that we had in this morning's parsha. Is hakel, is the nature of reading Sefer Devarim, is Sefer Devarim so holy that you're not allowed to read Sefer Devarim by yourself? No, that doesn't seem to be. Without being Darish time of Dekra too much and trying to give reasons for Hashem's mitzvahs. But it doesn't seem, nobody would suggest that it's because there's something unique about Sefer Devarim, it can only be recited by a tzibur. It's not the idea. It's that this is an expression of public Talmud Torah, and it takes on this particular shape. Hakel, the idea of gathering the entire nation together, Anashim, Nashim, V'taf, everybody, young and old, men, women, anyone and everyone has to come and gather together for Hakel. Why? Not necessarily because it is inherently, implicitly so holy that you need the entire nation to do it, but just because it's the nature of this particular mitzvah. This mitzvah is to gather for the purpose of hearing this sefer specifically together. In a similar capacity, that's how the Rav wants to explain Slichos. Slichos as a cheftza, as an entity, as an enterprise, was only instituted for the tzibur, which is just a little bit different. If that be the case, and it's not just a matter of holiness, well, if it's so holy, okay, but the slichos aren't so holy. It's not that the slichos are holy or not holy, or that Yod Gimel Midos are too holy or not holy enough. The issue is just that this is a public recitation, not a private recitation. This is something that was instituted, maybe as far back as Hashem himself. This is something that you say together, which again, Yosef Chaim, your point, feeds in very nicely with the end of the Gemara also. Kol Zman Sheyisrael Choten. So it's supposed to be a response maybe specifically to public sin, and therefore there's a public institution of Yud Gimel Midos and the Slichos that are then built around it. But it's not necessarily a matter of how holy it is. As an enterprise, as an entity, this is something that is only instituted in the first place for the Tzibur to do collectively, for the Tzibur to do together. Keep that in the back of your minds as we sort of come back to a question of what exactly it is that, I don't know, maybe that's going wrong. What's so challenging, what's so difficult that this is really bris krusa and enon chozos reikam? When we offer these tefillos, they never turn back, they're never turned back empty. So I don't know. I would have expected more for having recited Yud Gimel Midos so many times over. Every single year we spend so much time doing this, and the tefillos, yeah, Sam and Achinami, they don't come back fully empty. They don't go back fully empty. Maybe I would want more. So the question is Bichlal, is it ever just as simple as like we don't usually go in for Hail Marys? Right, the idea that, you know, say this and it's okay, and that's how you'll achieve atonement. Just recite this paragraph, recite these words, just recite them in as empty and hollow as a manner as possible. What exactly is the notion of reciting these, and why is it so important, and what's the manner that we have to do it, perhaps, in order to really achieve the kapara that we're seeking? So Rabbeinu Bachya in Shmos, this is on Kisisa, this is where the Pesukim actually appears, says as follows. Anybody who understands them, first of all, to understand them, to know what they are, Viodea Perusha, to know their explanation, V'ikran, what they're about, their source, what's at the root of them, what they mean, what they are. Umis Pal Bahem Bichavana. And then to also daven with Kavana. Which, by the way, is interesting in of itself. We usually, I think, associate kavana with, do you even know what you're saying? You either know what you're saying and you have kavana, you don't know what you're saying and you're davening without kavana. Not necessarily so. You can speak about perushon and that being different from kavana. I might know exactly what I'm saying, but you ever have this? You're reading a book. I mean, it certainly happens in davening. Ever like reading a book, you get to the end of the article, and inside of your own head, was I here for this? The world that I get? Did I really just get? Am I at the end of the day? What in the world just happened? What in the world just happened? Right? You ever get to like the end of a Shemona Esrei, and let's I paid my bills and I know my day schedule and I already packed lunches for the kids, but did I really just get to the end of Shemona Esrei? You know, you take your 3 steps back, you can't remember if it's at the beginning of Shemona Esrei, the end of Shemona Esrei. Did it happen already? Did it not happen yet? So there's a difference. There's a difference. Even if I know what the words are, kavana, focus, intention. That's when entvilaso chozros reikam. Rabbeinu Bachya lets us know that it's not as simple as just saying the words, and maybe this at least becomes a much taller order. So you can maybe argue that certainly there must have been people, great people in history, who have recited the Yud Gimel Midos with great kavana, with great focus. I'm sure Rabbeinu Bachya was one of them. But then nevertheless, maybe we need more. Maybe we need more people just to do that. When are they not chozros reikam? When are they not returned empty and hollow and without our desire and our interest being met? That's when we recite them properly. That's when we do it in the ideal manner. That's when we do them in a manner that is with not just what the words mean, what the words mean, what they are, what they're about, but also that we do so b'chavana as well. Be'er HaGola, this is the Maharal, sort of draws this even directly from the Gemara itself. He says, what does it mean in the first place that a Kaddish Baruch Hu wrapped himself like a Shliach Tzibur? Tell us if he wants to indicate that this is something to only be recited as a Tzibur, something that should only be instituted for the Tzibur, so he shows himself to be a Shliach Tzibur, I could appreciate it. Nis'atev, go the extra mile. Hashem wraps himself in a talis. Hashem is wrapped in a talis like a Shliach Tzibur. What is that idea? What is that notion? What does it mean to be wrapped? When you're wrapped up, this was like a game changer for me. When I first started davening in a talis, and you have the talis over your head, it's like such a game changer. You're just, I don't know, I just found it to allow for much greater focus, much greater kavana. Why? Because like you're in your own little bubble, you're in your own little cocoon. You don't have things going on around you to your right, to your left, or anything of the sort. So you don't have this netia. Shelo yigelo netia yamin usmo l'shum tzad klal. You have none of that. You're not looking to your right, you're not looking to your left. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrates that this is the proper way of doing things. He specifically puts on the talis, kivyachol, so that we see that that's how it is that you're supposed to daven. That's how you're supposed to say the Yud Gimel Midos. Zewa Ituf. That's what Ituf is. Va'oz HaKriya B'Chavana L'Gamrei. And that way, when you're reading, you're having complete Kavana. That's how the Maharal is defining what Kavana really is. Mitoch Omek Halev V'Amitaso. It's from the depth of your heart, and it's in truth, and it's with seriousness, it's with focus. Kavana. V'lokach Kasher Enom Otav. It's not the case. It won't be the same as if you're not, if you don't have that cocoon in that bubble. Sha'oz Efsher. Because then maybe you turn and you get distracted and you look at other things. This is clear. It's not really a matter, actually, of putting on the talis. He wants to be very clear. The talis is a symbol. The talis is a concept. The talis is a notion. The reading should be with MS, and it should be truthful and should be genuine and should be focused, not half-hearted and haphazard. And I'm kind of saying them while I'm also looking across the room, and I'm also spacing out, and I'm also thinking about all these other things. Davar zenekar itof. That's what itof is. That's what it means to be wrapped. That's the cocoon. That's the bubble. Bavor shehu mesulak mishar davar. It means that he's removed. You're removing yourself. You're detaching from whatever else is going on. This is the most extraordinary challenge of tefillah. Right? I find that that's the joke. Why is Psuke de Zimra longer on Shabbos? So that the rabbi can figure out what he's supposed to talk about. And he gives the drasha. Yeah, I have some of like your deepest, most insightful thoughts when you're davening Shmona Esrei, and very few of them ever have anything to do with with the Shmona Esrei. You come out of, you take your 3 steps back, it's like a eureka moment, because who knows where your mind was. So the idea is that it's not the talus. It's not the talus, and it's not the physical bubble, although it certainly helps. It certainly helps. But the idea is that conceptually, symbolically, to think about putting ourselves in a mindset where there are no distractions, where we're not gazing at other things, even in our own consciousness, even in our own mind. We're not thinking about what's happening tomorrow and what happened yesterday and what we have to do. We're here, we're davening, we just want to live in the moment. Mindfulness, be in the moment. And that's what Kavanah really is. By the way, just to see how far this goes, Shari Tshuva, which was one of the classical Perushim on Orach Chaim, says at the very end here, V'asar lahaskir yod gimel mido shelo b'chavana. That's an amazing thing. It's like, listen, you know, how many times am I going to say yod gimel midos over the course of Slichos, between now and Yom Kippur? I don't know, you add them all up, whatever it is, however many dozens of times that we're going to say yod gimel midos, 100 times, whatever it is. So great. So I have all these chances. I have all these opportunities. One of them, I'll get right. You know, probably like Ne'ilah. Maybe Ne'ilah, I'll really, really get right. Asr lahazker yud gimel midos shelo b'chavana. So you shouldn't just wait for the time to be ripe and okay, like I'll come, you know, don't worry, slugger, you'll get him tomorrow. Every single time is not only an opportunity to recite these properly, but it's a mandate. It is demanded of us that we do our best to recite them properly with kavana, with focus, with that conceptual ituf and wrapping and bubble around our heads, so that we're fully engaged, that we're fully engaged in the moment while we're reciting the Yud Gimel Midos. If we do, says the Rabbeinu Bacha, that's exactly what the Gemara means. What the Gemara means when it says Einan Chozros Reikam, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will respond, it's when he will respond when it is that we recite them. And when we give them their due, when we recite them with true kavana. Possibility number one. Possibility number two, Sam, this is what you mentioned, and comes up in a couple of places. One is in the Eitz Yosef. Eitz Yosef is one of the commentaries that's included in the Ein Yaakov. And he formulates the question exactly as we've been discussing it. And he asks right there on the Gemara, Rabbi Makshin, many have asked, Ki harbi asu kain, b'yud gimel midos, v'lo etzlichu. What do you mean? All you have to do is recite the Yud Gimel Midos and Einan Chozros Reikam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide you with whatever you ask for, and he'll forgive you, and Na'yem Cholachem, and everything will be fine and wonderful, and you'll have your atonement, and you'll have your forgiveness. But it doesn't seem to be the case. That isn't really borne out with respect to all of the generations who have offered the tefillah, and they haven't been responded to in the way that, at least ideally, we would hope for. Because of Al-Sheikh, quotes the Al-Sheikh, B'Tehillim, V'Zel Shonu, V'Shamati B'Shem Livnas HaSapir, Sha'al Kein Lo Amar, Amru Lifonai Kaseder Hazeh. It doesn't say, Amru Lifonai Kaseder Hazeh. It doesn't say, all you need to do is say these things. What's the actual expression that, according to the Gemara, Hashem used when speaking to Moshe? Ela Asu Lifonai Kaseder Hazeh. So you glance over it, you read through it quickly, and it sounds like, okay, if we asu lefanai kaseder hazeh, if we mimic, if we copy, if we do just what Hashem did, meaning that he recited these midos, so if we recite the midos also, we'll be in great shape. But that's not really what it says. Ela asu lefanai kaseder hazeh. You do, you act. You act in this manner before me, and then I'm going to take you in, and then I'm going to be kind, and then I'm going to be mochel, and then I'm going to offer you kapara. It's not dependent upon amira, upon recitation alone. Ela ba'asiya, you have to do, you have to act, you have to perform. You should act. You should act in this same Seder. So that it's true, we say them. But why do we say them? We say them as like a mantra. This is how we're going to act. This is how we're going to be. This is what we're going to do. Hashem, you are Racham and Chanun. And we call out and we scream, Hashem, 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 Kodem Lachet, Hashem, La'achar Achet. Hashem, you continue to show your goodness to people even after they've been nasty to you, and even after they didn't treat you with respect, they didn't treat you with dignity, they didn't treat you the way that you're supposed to be treated. Hashem, Melech Malchei HaMelechim. Nevertheless, you still respond sweetly and generously. That's what we should be. That's what we should do. Rachum, Chanun, compassionate, kind, merciful. So we remind ourselves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midos, so that hopefully we will act asu lefanai kaseder hazes, that we will act in that same manner, and that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides the full mechila.
Because
we need to breathe. We need to breathe. We need an outlet of being a jerk for a good 11 months. And then it's like anything. Yes, ideally, we should always be this way. And maybe we should always have the reminder. The problem is, like, I don't know if you've ever, I mean, this is not a great example because that's just a bookmark. If you've ever found this, on occasion I'll put something in my sitter. A highlight, a sticky mark, this, that, and it works really, really well for like 3 days, you know, and then it becomes backdrop, you know. Do not enter this store unless you're wearing a mask. What? But everybody in there is wearing, he's looking right through the glass and everything. It becomes backdrop, and who pays attention anymore, and nobody notices. I think this sometimes, on the one hand, I feel like I'm missing out, because in Nusach Sfarad, you say it, every time you say Tachanun, you always say the Yud Gimel Midos. And I feel like I'm missing out whenever I daven in a minyan that daven's Nusach Sfarad. So it's like, oh, it's so beautiful, I wish I could always say it. And then I look around, and I'm like, and I'm going into, like it's an Ela. You know, it's like a Tuesday morning at Landau's. Right? And I'm like going into, ah, because it becomes, you know, it's hard. It's hard ratcheting up that degree of kavana when, you know, I don't know, why don't we say halal every day, right? The Gemara says that it's like a makalal anybody that you can't say halal every day. You can't say halal every day, because wouldn't it be wonderful to praise Hashem every day? It is, and we should, but there's also the reality that if at some point, because of just the way we are wired as human beings, I think we just lose out on it being really meaningful if it becomes rote and the novelty starts to wear off. Shura Moore says, we can take a look at some of these, but I just wanted to get to this last piece. Yalkut Shimoni, we're probably familiar with. Sam, I think this is what you were referencing, right? That when we speak about, it's interesting that whenever we speak about v'halachta bidrachav, about following in Hashem's footsteps, we often use this pasuk. We speak about Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, and we speak specifically about then following Masha hu rachum mafata rachum, Masha hu chanun mafata chanun. We actually use this as the backdrop or as the model when we speak about actually patterning our own behavior after Hashem. When we speak about modeling, mimicking Hashem's behavior, we use these words. So if that be the case, we need to keep this in mind, at least according to this approach, that's exactly what we're doing. It's not just a recitation, it's an asiyah. So why do we say it at all? Because we need a reminder. But we should be reminding of ourselves that if this is Hashem, what you are like, then this is the way that I should be also. When we recite slichos, it should ideally be on both of these wavelengths. It should be kavana and focused. And we should be all in. We should be mindful, even if it's just about Hashem. I want you to be merciful, Hashem. I need you to be merciful. Nobody else is going to be merciful on me. Nobody else is going to save me. Nobody else. I'm in despair. I'm having difficulty. I have problems. I can't save myself. Only you can. Nobody else can. I'm not going to so much as have oxygen in my lungs without your help. I need you to spare me. I need you to save me. I need you to carry me. I need you to hold me. I need your support. I need you to provide me with success. I need you to provide me with parnasa. I need you to provide me with health. I need you to be merciful and to be solely, completely focused. You know, we lose something when, like, in the middle of Rifa'inu Hashem ben Erafei, Hashem, you are the Rofei Hashem, you are really the great healer. Oh, I gotta make well visits for all the kids. I gotta call them. We lose something when as it is that we are reciting things about Hashem, it triggers things in our own lives and the responsibilities that we have to handle, because the whole purpose of tefillah is to stand before Hashem, label ourselves as a complete and utter nebuch. There's nothing that I can do to help myself, and therefore Hashem, I need you to carry me. As soon as tefillah is over, we have to be responsible. We can't just lie in a hammock and say, good, you know, good for me, I daven, Hashem will take care of me now. We need to exert and exercise our own agency. It's what Hashem wants of us. But three times a day, we remind ourselves that we are just helpless. We are frail and we are feeble. We are nebuchs. There's nothing we can do by ourselves. And Hashem, can you please carry us? So that should be on one level. On one level, it should be with that complete and utter focus, but also that it should be that we're reading this greatest of self-help books. We're reading about how to develop our own character and how to be better. Final source here, which is just such a wild, wild idea when you put it in context. So Tanit Be'eliyahu says as follows, Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara. May Hashem answer on the day of distress. Ki haya David yodea sha'asid beis hamikdash liyos chariv. David HaMelech knew that one day the beis hamikdash would be destroyed. Va'karbanos yubetelen, there would be no more karbanos, they would be nullified. Ba'avanoseihen shel Yisrael, because of the sins of Klal Yisrael. Vahaya David mitztayer al Yisrael, and it pained David to think about those future generations of Klal Yisrael. B'meh yiyakapar al avanoseihen, how could they ever gain atonement for their sins? Va'amar Kadosh Baruch Hu David, Hashem said to David HaMelech, B'shah she'atzaros bos al Yisrael v'avanoseihen, when it is that difficulties will come their way, the tragedies even will befall them as a function of their sins. Yamdu lefanai yachad ba'aguda achas v'yisvadu al avonoseihem lefanai v'yomru lefanai seder slicha v'ani e'ene osam. Say the seder of slicha. What's the seder of slicha? Seemingly this. The seder of slicha is the seder of the Yud Gimel Midos, the slichos that we have. How is it that you're supposed to say them? First and foremost, yamdu lefanai yachad ba'aguda achas. Which is actually really, really startling, because Aguda Achas is exactly one of the things that we daven for on Rosh Hashanah, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to v'ye'asu chulam Aguda Achas. This is part of the Messianic era. This is what we're hoping for in the Yemos HaMashiach, that there's going to be this great binding force that brings us all together. It becomes difficult to say that this is a prerequisite for receiving, a prerequisite for receiving atonement is a feature of what is only going to happen in Yemos HaMashiach, and we're trying to find a way to connect Hashem even prior to Mashiach and even prior to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. But be that as it may, this is what's called for. We need that binding force, Aguda Achas, to bring us all together. So I just wanted to suggest as follows, going back to Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik makes this halachic point, right, in trying to determine why it would be, how could it possibly be that the Ramah and the Rambam would suggest that the totality of Slichos is something that, in the first place, if it's not, strictly speaking, a Davar Shebikdusha, why can't I say it on my own? So he suggests, again, halachically, maybe the entire enterprise was instituted exclusively for the Tzibur. So why is that? Why would that be? Why would that be? Why should that be the case? It's an interesting distinction to make in Lamdus and in Halacha, that maybe this is one of those items, like a hakel type of thing, that's specifically for the tzibur as a unit, as a collective. Why should that be the case? Maybe this is why it's the case. If it's really the case, slichos is an extension of the entire service. The core of the entire service really is about the Yud Gimel Midos. It's true you could parse out that this part is really, really holy, really sanctified, you have to have a minyan. And this part, it's not quite as holy, and then maybe strictly speaking, you could say it on your own. But the whole notion of what it means to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for slicha is to recognize that Hashem, this is the way you act. These are your midos. You're rachum, you're chanun, you're good, you're merciful, you're compassionate, you're kind, you're generous, you're wonderful. You take us back, you don't bear a grudge, you're slow to anger. We're not just supposed to say them and believe them. We're supposed to say them and inculcate them into our own personalities. This is who we're supposed to become. So if that be the case, and that's the whole of what Slichos really is supposed to be about, it is a moment and it's a service that's meant to allow me to reflect and meditate on what kind of person am I going to be? Not just that I have a lot of kavana and did I get HaKadosh Baruch Hu back into my corner. That's the whole of what I'm shooting for when it comes to Slichos. It's more than that. Whenever we go into Slichos, ideally, we should come out better people than when we first went in. We should come out being more rachum. We should come out being more chanun. We should come out being kinder, being more warm, being more sensitive, being more caring than we were when we first went in. That's what the Yud Gimel Midos and all of Slichos is really supposed to be about. When and where can you do that? If I say that I'm going to be more compassionate and more kind while I'm standing as a yachid, come on, what does that even mean? What does that even mean? What does it mean to be kind and compassionate if you're not part of a tzibur? What does it mean to be kind and compassionate and to be slow to anger and to just and to be loving and to be giving when you're not part of a tzibur, what does that even mean? If you're part of a tzibur, then you know how annoying we can all be to each other. If you're part of a tzibur, you know how much we can grate on each other. If you're part of a tzibur, especially Baruch Hashem, our tzibur, if you're part of a tzibur, then you know what it means to have that family kind of dynamic, that family kind of ethic, right? It's like, sometimes more than others. Sometimes it's just, a routine, Wednesday morning breakfast. And sometimes it gets really labadik. It's Thanksgiving dinner. Really labadik, right? What happens when we start talking politics and when somebody posts something annoying and offensive on the WhatsApp group? And what happens when we have different feelings and different opinions about, what COVID-19 policy should be and what security policy should be and what davening policy should be and how high the machitza should be and where we should park and where we shouldn't be allowed to park and what kind of machzor we should be using and what kind of piyutim we should have and what kind of piyutim shouldn't we have? And sometimes those are big issues, and sometimes those are small issues, but we grate on each other. We grate on each other. Fine, good. That's good. That's how it's. Whether that, I don't know how that should be. That's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. That's where Rachmanus comes in. That's where kindness comes in. That's where compassion comes in. That's when we have the ability to exercise the feeling of, you know what? At the end of the day, I love these people. I love these people. And even if it's the case that that was a little harsh, and that did he have to say it that way, and did he have to post it that way, and did he have to put it that way, did he have to call me and say this and do this? I don't like how you acted. I don't like what you said. I don't like what you didn't say. But you know what? I want to be a Rahman. I want to be a Rahman. I want to try to understand where they're coming from, and I want to appreciate that maybe they had a rough day, and maybe this is so much more challenging for them than it is for me, and maybe this is more difficult than it is for me. The idea of trying to be a Rahman and trying to be more of a Rachum and a Chanun when you're standing at home in a corner by yourself, it's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. It's really easy to be compassionate in your own living room. It's really easy to be kind and warm and sensitive and caring when there's nobody else around. But it's specifically when you get together in a building and you look around and you remember, he said something that really bothered me the other week. She said something that was really offensive, 2 months ago. And I'll still never forget what happened, 14 years ago on Simchas Torah when he said that he was going to, and then they did it, and he got chasen bereishis, and I'll never be. But you know what? Racham v'chana. Racham v'chana. The entire enterprise needs to specifically be Betzibur, because that's where we have the ability to truly recognize the capacity to be like Hashem, to follow in His footsteps. Derech Hashem, the Ramchal says that the entire notion of creating the universe for Hashem was an act of chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being that He is a fountain of chesed and rachmanus unto Himself, could no longer be unto Himself. There needed to be other creations for Him to allow that rachmanus, that compassion, that kindness, that chesed to spill over to others. This is what it means when you get together as a tzibur. So for every time we have that challenge, we should recognize that this is an opportunity to become that much more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I would say specifically at Tzlichos. And maybe these two things are opposed to some degree, but I think they can be wed to one another. On the one hand, yes, we should have absolute focus and absolute clarity. The notion of ituf, the notion of trying to block out anything else that might be going on in our minds, so that we can really, really dial into this critical, critical series of midos and tefillah. But I think there might be something to say, maybe a little bit before. Take a look around the room. Take a look around the room. We're part of a tzibur. We come to daven as a tzibur. Different personalities, different personality types, and people of different backgrounds, people of different interests and different likes and dislikes, and that's what makes us great, and that's what makes us beautiful, and that's truly, ultimately, what gives us the opportunity to actually follow Hashem. We cannot be like Hashem, Rachmanim and Baalei Chesed, when we're simply sitting inside our own living rooms. It's specifically when we act, when we get together and we have the ability to act towards one another in the manner that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes, that we can live life and do in true fulfillment of the Yigdom Midos. Okay, Shkayach everyone. Let's take a little bit of a break. We'll come back and we'll do the second chair. Let's take 5 minutes.